Hebrews chapter 12, look here at verse 15. So last week I started a series because we were talking about our walk with the Lord, and to add on to that, but I talked last week or preached or teached, whatever you want to say, on hindrances. And the first one I was talking about is hindrances to our prayer life. Talking about different things that could be a hindrance to our prayer lives. So I'm going to talk about and continue on hindrances in our Christian life. And this one, I'm going to talk about bitterness. So sometimes during the messages, some of the things I'll probably go through here, you probably have heard maybe sometimes different times, but bitterness. Bitterness can really hurt you and me as a Christian. And I want you to think about that as we go through the scripture, as we look at this, what the Bible talks about bitterness and how it could affect us and hurt us. Look here, verse 15, Hebrews 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, like God really wants us to examine, right? Compare, pay attention, know what's going on. Look diligently, lest any fail of the grace of God. He's not talking about losing your salvation, right? He's not referring to that, right? He says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That word bitterness, if you look it up, bitterness is defined as hard, angry, hurtful words and thoughts. Hard, angry, hurtful words and thoughts. How someone can have those bitterness that's in their heart. And a lot of times you think about it, bitterness, it could be to an individual, right? Here it is that John did something against me, and I am mad at John. And when I see John now, I have this bitterness in my heart. And I have these, I'll be angry. It could be hard to John, could be mean to John. And the reality is it'll come out. So when you think about this bitterness, look what the Bible tells us here, right? So he's talking to us as believers. Bitterness can affect the lost. Bitterness can affect the saved. So just because you're saved, don't think that you can't have bitterness. No, you can, right? What we see here, he says, lest any root of bitterness. So I know we've talked about this before, but a root. If you think about bitterness, it could be planted, right? It could be planted. So as a root, he's not literally saying that, you know, there's a root that's growing inside you. But the reality is that seed of bitterness, it could happen from anything. It could be from circumstances. It could be from trials. It could be someone does it to you. You know, bitterness is not contagious like the flu. But the reality is you can get it from others. As in, someone makes you bitter, right? Husband and wife, the Bible even warns and tells a husband, be not bitter, right, to the wife, right? Here it is, the wife does something, whatever, and you can be bitter. I'm going to tell one of our stories, Ariana, I could tell a lot of stories, right? But I remember I wanted to make, I love bean soup. Do you ever have bean soup, Mark? I love bean soup. When I was growing up, we were poor, so we didn't really have much money, but my mom made bean soup, right? She would get a ham, and she would kind of cook down the ham a little bit, or the bone that's there, and then she'd put in beans, and then potatoes, and I don't know what else. So anyway, you probably think it doesn't sound good. Yeah, it may not be too good, right? But for me, as someone growing up, I loved it, right? It was what I was used to. So I said something to my wonderful bride, Debbie, and I said, why don't you make some bean soup for me? There's a moral to this story. Hopefully I don't lose it, you know. But anyway, so Debbie makes bean soup for me. And needless to say, it was when Debbie was just learning how to cook, right? And need I say more? So anyway, all I know is she didn't watch the pot and the beans burnt. When you have beans that burn, woo, does it stink, right? So here I am as a husband that got home, and you know, Mark, when beans burn, because when you walk in, you smell it, right? So anyway, I was not bitter against my wife. Be like, what did you do? You know, I did not get on her, give her a hard time about it. Matter of fact, Mark, I sat down at the kitchen table, and she had it there, and I started to eat it, and that was there, right? Praise the Lord, she said, Anthony, you want to go out to eat? And I said, yes! So that was an easy decision, right? But what I'm saying is, there's times in our life where a situation can cause you to be bitter. And the words that can come out, and I could have gave, and this could be a situation where she could be bitter against me, bringing me up, of reminded her of, and I know she would. But anyway, it could be a situation, right, where someone could be bitter. It could be a trial, right? It could be a trial that you're going through in life that will ultimately cause you to be bitter. How many people do you know that are Christians that are living for God or start to live for God, and a trial that came into their life and something has happened? Their spouse, they found their spouse cheating on them. They receive a phone call and one of their children is dead. You know? They go to work. And they get that paper, they got called into HR, and they have been laid off. A situation, an individual or situation or trial could ultimately plant the root, that seed of bitterness, but it's going to be planted. I want you to understand, it has to be planted that's there. And that's what he tells us. So you think about bitterness, it can be planted. And then what do we see from Scripture? He says, lest any root of bitterness springing up. You know what that means? It grows. When you have a seed that's planted, right? You think about it as a seed, and maybe you have a garden, and you planted a seed of tomatoes, planted the seed, and you put it there, and next thing you know, in time, you'll see that sprout that will come up, and it'll start growing, right? Tomatoes is a good thing we'd like to see. But you think about when that seed of bitterness is in there, and it gets the root, means it's going to start digging in, right? Because you didn't deal with it. You didn't ask for forgiveness. You didn't ask God to help you with it. Or you didn't, some people start blaming God, but you didn't say, Lord, I'm sorry. But you allowed it to get in, root. And it took root into your heart. And now it's springing up. It's growing. So I want you to think about this bitterness that it will grow. Sometimes what can happen is, an example, let's say that I went to work today and HR just told me that, appreciate your 20 years of working with us, but now we're going to fire you, right? And by the way, your parting gift is Cracker Jacks or something, you know, whatever it is, right? And here it is, I come to church, I'm not happy because I just got laid off of 20 years, and I come up to Mark, and Mark looks at me and says, you won't believe what happened today. I got a promotion. You know? Mark's not doing it to be mean, right? But what I'm saying, it could spring up, and instead of me rejoicing with those that rejoice, what is it? You know? And I get mad at Mark. What is it? It could spring up. What I'm saying is that root of bitterness could be planted. It will spring up, so that it will come up. So when it springs up, you know what that means? It's going to be seen. The root that's underground, you may not notice it. You'll notice it in your heart. There's a verse that's in Proverbs, can't think about it, where it talks about how your heart knows bitterness, right? I could have a front on, looks like I'm all happy and everything, but I know in my heart there's that root of bitterness. But rest assured, when it springs up, you're going to see it. When you go out in the garden, you're probably all happy to see those little shoots of whatever, right? Tomatoes, whatever that's coming up, corn stalk, whatever it is that you're planting, potatoes, the peppers. You can see it. Can I tell you, John, when that root of bitterness gets in or springs up, you'll see it in my life. You know what it is? It's not a plant that's shooting out, but you'll hear from my words. You'll see it from my countenance, how my face is responding. And look what he says here. Spring up trouble you. He's talking to us as believers. That root of bitterness that will spring up will trouble you. You know what that means? Again, you go back to what we were talking about, our walk with the Lord. And now you have a root of bitterness that's springing up, troubling you. Your walk is not good now. You're not walking with the Lord like you should. It's going to trouble you. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect you at your job. You ever work with someone that was bitter? Have you ever been in a family or around a family? Hopefully not your family, but ever in your family or someone that you know's family that is bitter? The tension that it causes trouble you. It'll trouble you at work. It'll trouble you at home. It'll trouble you at church. Here it is, you're at church and you're walking up to someone and saying, "Hey, how you doing?" And they are bitter, you know. And what do? They affect the atmosphere, right? You do know that. You can affect the atmosphere of a church. You can affect the atmosphere of your home. Your attitude can affect it. But anyway, it says trouble you. And look what this last part of it says. And thereby many be defiled. Many. This isn't just one person. Many be defiled. Now, you could take this in different ways. You could take it from a standpoint of this. Many be defiled because when I have that root of bitterness, I am going to affect Elma, I'm going to affect Doris, I'm going to affect Mark, I'm going to affect John. It's going to affect everyone. But also, you could take it, because it can be applied this way, is it's just not Mark that's only going to get bitterness, but every single one of us could. There's a lot of people today that are Christians that are bitter. Bitter. And you see the last part? Defiled. That word defiled means to contaminate, to taint, to corrupt. During the summertime, one of my favorite drinks is iced tea. Sweet tea. I love sweet tea. There is nothing like sweet tea. I know Miss Doris, she loves sweet tea also. I like, and you may think it's weird, but I love McDonald's sweet tea. I think their sweet tea that they make here is good. It reminds me of a Southern sweet tea. Sweet tea should be sweet. And I love their sweet tea. So anyway, here it is. You have a sweet tea, and you think about it. When you get a sweet tea, you don't get a small, you don't get a medium. You get the biggest ones that they have, right? That's a sweet tea. And here it is. You have that sweet tea that is good. I mean, I'm just thinking of it now. I'm thinking, oh, no ideas, Ariana, but wow, it would be good to have a sweet tea to drink that, especially on a hot day, you know, and have that sweet tea. And here it is. You take that sweet tea and you put something in it. Oil. I'm not talking about oil that you put on salad, but I'm talking about the oil that you get out of your car. You contaminate it, right? And the reality is, you don't want to drink that, right? Because the reality is, which was like, oh, this is great. And now that it has oil in it, you know, antifreeze in it, right? It's like, ugh. It's defiled. Shh. It's defiled. You don't want to touch it. It says, whereby many be defiled. That walk that you had with God was sweet and pleasant and joyful, and you had that peace. And now, because that root of bitterness has come in and has grabbed hold of your heart and has sprung up, and now it's coming out where people can see it, that you are now defiled. He's not saying that you're lost, but the reality is, you think about in your life, something happened. And now, instead of having a walk with the Lord that's sweet, you're having a walk of bitterness. That's what he's saying of us as believers. We need to watch. It's a hindrance, and it says many. This isn't something that just potentially could only happen to a few. Many, we all are having the ability to have a seed of bitterness that's planted in our heart to turn to a root that could spring up. I guarantee you there's preachers today there are preachers who have bitterness.
It's like wormwood.
What's that? Yeah, that's another. Yeah, I'll have that. It's bitter. But you think about gall, I think it's gall is another one that talks about bitter. But there's preachers today that have bitterness. They started out in a church and something happened, a church split, and now they have bitterness. They started out in a church and something happened and maybe they got voted out. You know, the church is compromising God's word and now they're being voted out and they have bitterness of heart. What I'm saying is it doesn't matter who you are. A lost person get bitterness. And here he's giving a reference to those who are saved. Don't be naive to think that you can't have bitterness, because bitterness could happen from an individual affecting you, a situation. Bitterness can come in different ways. Things don't go as way you thought can lead to bitterness. Someone doing something against you can lead to bitterness, not forgiving them. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Bitterness will surely hinder your spiritual growth. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you look down here, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." So we can grieve God. How can we do this? "Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Well, he's telling us that we are sealed, right? We have the Holy Spirit. He's not going to leave us until we go home. Here's one way. "And let all bitterness." First one that he says here. Bitterness. He says others, "and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." God has forgiven us of everything. And you think about Jesus never sinned. None of us could say that. And if he was willing to forgive sinners and he was perfect, who do we think we are that we can't forgive others, right? Be kind. A lot of times bitterness is you do the opposite, right? Bitterness you don't want to forgive, right? Bitterness, you think about the words. But here it is, he says, "Let all bitterness." Again, what do we see? He's talking to the believers. He's not talking about the lost. He's talking about the believers. And when he's talking to the believers, he says, "Let all bitterness," right? Find that root and get rid of it. When the seed is planted, you know the devil will take that seed, the smallest little thing, and that devil will try to make that to turn into a root of bitterness in your life. Don't let him get the victory, right? But what we could see here is he's telling us it could grieve God and it will hurt your Christian life. I guarantee you, if I asked you, and please don't mention someone's name, but if you thought back in your life and maybe even today that you know someone that's bitter, you would probably say you don't really like being around them. You know? You know, what was it when I was little? I used to watch, Charlie Brown. And they had that one guy. He had like the dust or whatever. It was all, I think it was, wasn't it dust or whatever? Pig pen or whatever that had dust or whatever that's around him, you know? You didn't want to get too close to pig pen, right? And I'm not saying pig pen was bitter. But someone that's bitter, I mean, you try to be kind, but they don't want you to be kind to them. And they are mean, right? So realize that, right? you're walking with the Lord, if you don't think the devil's going to try to put a seed of bitterness in your life, you're being foolish. You're being foolish. He's trying to do it. Matter of fact, there's already been things in your life where the devil has hoped that it would turn into a root of bitterness, but you have given it to the Lord. A situation, a trial that you're in, instead of getting mad to God, you said, Lord, I thank you for saving me. And Lord, thank you for helping me through it. Someone said something mean to you and you forgave them. Well, that could have turned easily to a root of bitterness. Look at what the Bible says over here to the book of Deuteronomy. And that's in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29. So that root of bitterness. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Think about bitterness. It will hinder your spiritual life. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 29, I'm going to start reading verse 14. In contents, this was God giving it to Israel, right? So this was God giving it to Israel. There was a warning to Israel. And in this warning, he's also warning about those that would be lost, that would rebel against God and turn to false gods, right? So that's in content. That's what it's saying. I'm going to take it as an application to what's here, and you'll see why. In verse 14, neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how ye came through the nations which are ye passed by, and ye have seen the abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. He's talking about their idolatry and how they made these things, their false gods. Look at there. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turn away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there be among you, look at this, a root that beareth gall and woodworm. That word gall is a bitter, poisonous herb that deafens pains. That's why when you think about it, Jesus would not take it on the cross that was there, because he took the full brunt of it. Woodworm is a plant that has a bitter, nauseous taste. Usually it describes of God's judgment. But if you look at verse 18, did you see where it started? Did you see in verse 18 in the middle? Where did it start? Right in the middle. What's that word did you see?
Serve the gods
of the nation. Yeah, but where did it start at? Before they started to do that. Right in the middle of the verse. Whose heart turneth away this day, right? Starts in their heart. That root of bitterness, right? Here it is, they were thinking, you know, these other gods are better than our God. You know, they didn't know the God of heaven. It starts in their heart and they start thinking these things, right? And then what? They're turning to these false gods. You know, a lot of times when someone is backslidden, they're still coming to church, but it's already in their heart. And in time, what's in their heart, if they don't get right with God, will be seen. It's just like bitterness. That seed that's planted, if you don't deal with it, it'll root and it'll spring up, right? That day, John, that you see bitterness in my heart, the reality is it probably wasn't the day it was planted. It took time. It starts in the heart. When there's something that happens, and one of the best things you can do is just take it to the Lord. Don't let it dwell there. Don't just keep on thinking about it. Do you ever think about this? Whenever something has happened in your life and you have asked the Lord to forgive you, it is forgiven. And Mark, it's not God that's bringing it up again in your life. So it's either you or the devil that's doing it. Do Do you ever think about this? Why? Because the devil wants to plant a seed in your heart to get you away from God. It's never God that's doing it. It's you or the devil, right? Or his demons, or his thoughts that's coming there. But you think about it. It goes in your heart. Here it is. Someone did something to you a long time ago and you asked for forgiveness. And what is it? You see him again. And what is it? There's these thoughts that you have that comes to your mind. You already forgave them. It's your flesh. Right? But what you could see here, it starts in the heart. And what else do we see? Bitterness is against God. Call it for what it is. You know? It's against God. God doesn't want you to be bitter. God wants us to be kind. God wants us to be forgiving. God doesn't want us to be bitter. Look at what the Bible says over here to the book of Ruth. Right after the book of Judges. Ruth is always the example that I go to, the book of Ruth, if I'm talking about bitterness. Look here in the book of Ruth, chapter 1. In Ruth, chapter 1. In Ruth 1, look here, verse 5. Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So this speaks of Naomi. She lost her husband and two sons. She's not in her homeland. She's outside of their homeland. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Do you ever think about this? Now, at this time, Naomi is bitter. She's bitter. How do you think she heard? Don't you think God was in that? Amen. I do. I believe when I look at this, when I read that, I believe that God somehow told someone to make sure that got over to that place that Naomi could hear about it. You know why? Isn't it amazing, Mark, how God tries to draw people back? Try to draw people back in the center of His will. She was outside of the center of God's will. Her husband took her out of that way. And she heard about this. Why? Because it's God trying to bring her back. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go return, each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then they kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why wilt thou go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that he may be your husband? Turn again, my daughter, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, will you tarry for them till they be grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughter, for it grieveth me much for your sake," look at this, "that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Right? She's bitter, blaming God that's here. "They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, Ruth, cleave unto her. And she said, 'Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou also, turn thou after thy sister-in-law.'" Why would you do that? Amen. Knowing that she is going back and then she'll be back to those false gods. Why would you encourage someone to follow their lead? Amen. To go back to the false gods. Sometimes bitterness can blind you to the truth, right? Bitterness, I mean, really, she should have said, "You know, why don't you come? You know, Lord, deal kindly, and why don't you come," right? Yeah, but sometimes bitterness will get you not to think right. If we keep on, I'm going to skip down here. So they go to Jerusalem, Bethlehem, I'm sorry, down to verse 19. "So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, and were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, And they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." Right? My Bible, the word that they say is Naomi is pleasant, means pleasant. Mara means bitter. Here is, she came. What happened? She got out of God's will. Her husband died. Her two sons died. And because of that, made her bitter. And now she's to the place she wants others to call me bitter, right? Call me Mara, bitter. Can't you see the root? The seed was planted. And now what? We know the root's there because it's springing up in her life. You can see it, right? It go on, verse 21. "I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty." You know, God brought you back into the center of His will to help you, right? I mean, by the time we get to the end, she realizes it, right? It took her, God opening up her heart, and then the bitterness is gone. God healed the heart, her heart. God didn't bring her back empty. Ruth was standing beside her. You know how bitterness will blind you? You know? Where was it? "Home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me? Almighty has afflicted me." She's like, "I'm empty." No, you have Ruth. Can I tell you, when you look at Ruth, sometimes ladies go through the book of Proverbs and they look at the end of that chapter, virtuous lady. Ruth is a virtuous lady. And Naomi had a daughter-in-law that loved her so much, cleaved to her, right? She was willing to go to a place where she may not have known the language that was there. It was a whole different environment. She was going to be looked at differently because she didn't look like the Jewish people. I mean, she was willing, she was going there. They didn't like them, right? She didn't care because she loved Naomi. You know, the interesting thing is when you look at bitterness, you see the root that's springing up here. But you see the opposite in Ruth. Ruth didn't allow the bitterness to affect her. She just showed love. Isn't that what God does to us? So there's some people that are bitter, and just God loves us. Amen. God just continues to love us, and God continues to show mercy to us. And what you'll see in chapter 2 is ultimately Ruth, she was a hard worker. She was a virtuous lady. She went out and worked. She went out and labored. And look down to verse 18. What happened in time? Verse 18, chapter 2. "And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, 'Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wottest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee.' And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, 'The man's name with whom I have wrought today is Boaz.' And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, 'Bless.'" You know, before this time, you know, you wouldn't think this would come out of Naomi. "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said to her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." And can I tell you, because of Ruth's kindness, forgiveness, and because of Boaz, who is a picture of Christ, the kinsman redeemer, because of his kindness, Naomi's bitterness from this point on, you won't see it again. You know what will happen in the next chapter, John? She's thinking about Ruth. Bitterness, you look within. And what happens when you get healed of it? You start looking without. And what was it? She cared about Ruth. Ruth, I'm going to have to find someone, and this is what we can do. And she wanted to see Ruth get married to Boaz. She was no longer thinking about me. Bitterness, that's what it is. Do you know what problems I'm having, John? Do you know what my problems with my marriage? My children, I'm having problems, or my parents? You know, it's just, you know. You know what it's like to, you know, bitterness. And what happens when God heals you? It's more of, hey, what can I do to help you? And look what, when we get to chapter 4, the end result. Because God healed the bitterness that was in her heart, that root is now gone. In chapter 4, and verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when she went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception. She bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be to thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thy old age. And thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 10 sons, as bore him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. You see, there is no bitterness. And remember when she came in to that place, she did. People looked at her, is this Naomi? And the bitterness that came out, that in time, because of what Ruth did, because of what Boaz did, forgiveness, the loving kindness, but it was God, and God got her heart, that the people of the land that said, is this Naomi? Is now making a proclamation and saying, you're going to be blessed. What happened? The root of bitterness is now gone. You know? And because of that, they are no longer saying, is this Naomi? Like, whoa. They're like, wow. Why? Because of what God did. What I'm saying is bitterness can cause a hindrance in your life. And maybe you have bitterness. Maybe some trial has done it. Maybe something that your spouse has done it. Maybe your children has done it. Maybe your work has done it. Maybe a trial has done it. Maybe, whatever. And people would say to you, is that Naomi? But if you just allow God to heal your heart and be willing to forgive, that people could say, bless. They could see a difference. That's what God can do. God wants us to walk with Him that we can be a blessing to others. The devil's goal is to get us away from walking with the Lord to be not a blessing to others. Remember, the root of bitterness doesn't just affect the lost, but it can affect any of us. Don't allow that seed to be planted in your heart. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this study tonight would help us. Lord, that we would examine our heart, allow the Holy Spirit to examine our heart, to make sure if there are that seeds that could turn into a root of bitterness, Lord, that we give it to you, that we forgive the person who's done something, or get our minds that we'd say, Lord, forgive us of what we have done, or whatever it is. Lord, help us. You can heal that heart. Lord, you can take that root and get rid of it. And I pray that it would be the case for tonight, that we wouldn't have those seeds that would turn into root of bitterness. I pray for your protection as we travel home, and I pray that you would just keep us safe. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.